How can we overcome fear? There's the right kind of fear and there's the bad kind of fear. And in preparing his disciples for his imminent arrest and trial and crucifixion, Jesus sought to reassure them by expressing his own confidence. He was hoping, and I'm sure that he expected it, that his confidence about the coming events would somehow transfer to his disciples. It did later on. He said this, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." What Jesus faced was immensely troubling. And I think a normal, sinful human being probably would not have been able to take it. But he was the Son of God. He was the sinless man, the sinless Lamb of God that knew that the Father wanted him to go through this time of suffering and aloneness. These troubling days were ahead, and Jesus offered his disciples that they would have hope. In John 16:33, he goes on to say, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Shalom. "In the world you will have tribulation." Now, some other translations say fear, in German, Angst. You know, you would be scared. But he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He had already accomplished the victory before his crucifixion. He could say this already before he went to the cross. "I have overcome the world." That is already sealed. And he wanted his disciples to have peace and confidence, not in their own abilities, but in the accomplishment, in the fact that Jesus had already overcome the world. So through his death and resurrection, Jesus demonstrated that he had indeed overcome the world, and the victory that he had, he offered to his disciples. And such victory was also necessary in regards to fear, to human fear, because fear and anxiety can paralyze us. Not all fear is harmful, though. There's a place in the Christian heart for the right kind of fear. We want to look at that first. But first, what is the definition of fear? According to the American Heritage Dictionary, fear is a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence or imminent danger. Fear is also extreme reverence or awe as toward a supreme power. So there are two different kinds of fear. In Proverbs, there's one kind of fear that is healthy and good for us, which is often lacking because the other type of fear is taking over too much and we give it too much attention. And Proverbs talks a lot about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. The fear of the Lord will cause us to hate evil. You see, if we want to love God, you cannot love if you cannot hate. Okay, let's put it that way. If we don't have the ability to hate evil, we cannot have the ability to love God. So the fear of God helps us to hate evil, to hate what is wrong, and to love God. and become wise. The fear of the Lord, according to Proverbs 10, verse 27, prolongs life. You want to get old? Fear the Lord. Have a fear of God. The fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life, the Proverbs go on. The fear of God prompts us to depart from evil, to break away from doing wrong. The fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. It's like a shield around us. It helps us. The fear of the Lord, in Proverbs 22, says it's the way to riches, honor, and life. That's the right kind of fear. Oswald Chambers said this, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." I want us to think about this for a moment. If we fear God, if we have this awe and reverence before God, we don't have to be afraid of anything else. If God is with us, who can be what? Against us. But what about the wrong kinds of fear? Fear that is often groundless. And many people have different phobias. There's the fear of spiders, there's arachnophobia, those are Greek words. There's the fear of speaking before groups. 40% of people are afraid to speak before a group of people, called topophobia. The fear of heights, I'm one of them. I was born with a fear of heights. I hate being up high somewhere, especially if it's not very solid ground. So don't have me do zip line and all that stuff. That's not for me. That's called acrophobia. Fear of insects and bugs. That's why certain people don't go camping. 20% of them not. Entomophobia. Financial problems, 20%. Ataphobia. Fear of deep water, 20%. Bathophobia. How about that? Bathophobia. Fear of disease, 20%. Fatophobia. Fear of death, 20%. Thanatophobia. Fear of flying. Certain people don't like to fly in the airplane. Aerophobia. Fear of loneliness, 15%. Monophobia. Fear of dogs. Yes, 10% of people are definitely afraid of dogs. Cynophobia. Fear of driving, riding in a car, 10%. Otrophobia. Fear of darkness, 10%. Nyctophobia. This is according to a study that was done in 1993. Such fears are often the result of misinformation. For example, fear of flying. You know, people say, well, if I go on the airplane, what if the airplane crashes? Well, then you're dead. It's as simple as that. What if the car crashes? Well, you're either dead or you may be crippled. You may be severely injured. And believe me, the statistics show that flying is the safest way of transportation nowadays. What is fear? The definition of fear, and the young people will remember that. I gave it to you recently. What is the definition of fear? False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real is the fear that befall so many people, that burden so many people, that keeps many people from doing more in their life. They'd rather keep to themselves, they'd rather be in a safe zone than stepping out and risking anything. They don't want to risk anything that is different, that is not familiar. Fear that makes problems seem greater than they really are. And isn't that what we often do? We face a problem, we face a challenge, and we really think this is a great mountain. We cannot overcome this mountain. Well, no, not in ourselves, not of ourselves. This is where the fear of the Lord comes in to help us, that we don't fear the enemy, we don't fear hell and whatever comes at us. We know that if God is on our side, we have the victory. But sometimes we have to speak to our fears and say, get lost. Or like Jesus said to Peter, Satan, get thee behind me. Oftentimes we have to say that to our fears. Get thee behind me. I am a child of God, and I will not fear. I will not allow wrong fear to paralyze me. Someone says a proverb, fear makes man believe the worst. I read somewhere a German proverb said, fear makes a wolf bigger than he is. Fear magnifies problems. Fear magnifies challenges. Fear magnifies temptation. You know, you had a bad thought last week. Oh, now fear can be so paralyzing. You fear you will burn in hell forever. That's not what God wants. The fear of God would help us then to quickly correct our ways, to repent and not fear. Fear can prevent us from enjoying the blessings that we have. A Spanish proverb says, he who fears death cannot enjoy life. If we're always afraid of dying, how can we enjoy life? And say, well, I have to die anyway, so might as well just be grumpy. No. We need to enjoy life while God gives it. Death will come on its own, at its own time, at its God-appointed time. You know that? It is appointed for man once to die. That means that God has the time, the day of our death already on his calendar. He knows it. And so if we fear God and we trust him, then we say, Lord, we know our life is in your hands and we want to enjoy life and make the best of it as we live on earth. Someone says, who lives in fear will never be a free man. We cannot be free if we are paralyzed by fear. Stanley Jones said, fear is the sand in the machinery of life. When a machine is working, you want to have a well-oiled machine. You don't want any sand in it, because that's going to grind everything until it stops. Actually, I discovered that fear, the wrong kind of fear, causes people to disobey God. Because they think they have to run to and fro. They have to be so afraid that they do and say the wrong things. There was a poll that was taken from teenagers. And they were asked what they feared the most. Now, a lot of teenagers are very anxious. They're very afraid. They're afraid of life. They're afraid of things to come. They're afraid of failing. And the number one thing, 44% of teenagers in school said that they were afraid of failing in school. 44%, almost half. 33%, one out of three, were afraid of loneliness. And 30%, and this is now considered a peer pressure, 30% were afraid of not having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. 28% of the teenagers were afraid of rejection. Those are real things, rejection. And all of these things, the competition, the expectations, all of that can make a person anxious and fearful. I don't know about you. How did you get your driver's license when you went to the first time you went for a test? Were you all calm and just everything fine? No, I was very nervous. My hands were sweating on the steering wheel, and I wanted to make that test. I wanted to pass it. So fear of rejection, fear of persecution has even led many Christians to denounce their faith. And unless we can overcome the wrong kinds of fear, the devil, which is a master terrorist, will make sure that we stay in fear. What is the goal of terrorists and terrorist groups in our time? The goal is to make everybody afraid, that everybody fears them. And then politicians and others say, we should not fear anything, we should not be afraid, we should do this and do that. But can they assure our safety? Only God can do that. But how does faith now help us to overcome fear? Let's look at this. Jesus taught, and this is very humbling, that fear is indicative of little faith. When his disciples were very fearful as the storm on the sea was raging and their boat was threatened, and they said, Lord, we just have to drown here now. There's no hope. And they even screamed. And Jesus taught them not to be fearful. He told them, oh, you of little faith, because he calmed the storm. He is the Lord of the storm. The Lord was with them. See, the story tells us when the Lord is with us and we fear him, we have such an awe and reverence for him that we know he has everything in his hands, and that if he is with us, I'd rather die with the Lord than without him, right? So if I die with the Lord, I don't have to fear because he's with me, and his staff and his rod, they comfort me. That's what he was teaching his disciples. In Luke chapter 12, verse 27 through 32, Jesus talks about nature and talks about faith and little faith. Luke 12, verse 27, consider the lilies. Lilies meaning flowers. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God, who clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And he calls us again, oh, you a little faith, but your little faith. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Nowadays, that's why we have McDonald's, right? I mean, don't have to worry about it. No. He's talking about an attitude in our hearts. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, And all these things shall be added to you. The other translations are, first seek the kingdom of God. But I like the verse 32 in this chapter. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did you hear that? Do not fear, little flock, meaning his followers, Christ followers. It is the Father's will and good pleasure. In other words, he can hardly wait to give you the kingdom. And in God's kingdom, there's everything there. So fear is simply, according to the words of Jesus, unbelief in disguise. And Jesus addressed our worst fears. This is why he gave us a lot of assurances. In the Great Commission, he says, "For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Joshua 1 verse 9, we read, "Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In Hebrews 13, it says, "With the Lord at our side, what can man do?" I want to read another one out of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. You see, Jesus' own victory, if it becomes our victory, we can come to the point where we don't even fear death. And oftentimes we have to ask ourselves when we're afraid and anxious, what is the worst thing that can happen? What is the absolute worst thing that can happen in our life? That we die and go to be with the Lord, right? That's the worst thing. I think we're probably oftentimes not as afraid of that part than the suffering until we get to that departure moment where we die, right? It's that suffering that we don't like and we resent and we fight. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." In other words, if people are constantly afraid of death, we are living subjects of bondage. We're living in bondage. We cannot be free. We cannot soar as eagles. We cannot have this hope that is undying in our hearts because it paralyzes us. The fear of death paralyzes us constantly. So where there's faith, where there's trust in Jesus Christ. And I want to stress this today because this is what we read in the introduction. Where there's the love of God, it drives out fear. The more you focus on loving God, on having fellowship with the Lord, and seeking in the scriptures for comfort, for strength, for guidance, the more we do that, the stronger our faith grows and the less fear we live in. I have to preach this at myself today. We need to feed our faith so that our fears will starve to death. When fear knocks at the door, we need to let faith answer and let fear pass away. Fear and faith cannot keep house together, someone says. When one enters, the other departs. There is no fear in love, we read. And I want to read something that Harry Emerson wrote. Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens. Why are many Christians discouraged? Because of fear. Faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless, faith makes serviceable. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in its God. If we wish to overcome fear, let us have faith in Jesus Christ and his victory. If you have a guilty conscience this morning, if you have a burden, if you have sin in your heart, bring him to the Lord, and he will forgive you and take away your fears. Let's stand for prayer.